Well, Commerce Committee to order. We've got one bill on the agenda today. It's Senate File 1835, School District Health Insurance Transparency, that's a tough word to say, Act. And we have Senator Sieben. You may proceed. We have a number of, well, not a number. We've got about 12 witnesses here that want to testify. So welcome to the committee, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and we can feel this hot air coming down on us right here. It's pretty...
This bill creates a... Oh, okay.
So, members, the bill before you today is commonly referred to as the Health Insurance Transparency and Accountability Bill. And the goal of the legislation is to bring more transparency to health care insurance, the purchase of health care insurance for school districts. It will bring competition to school districts by increasing the number of bids that are sought, and also establishes a more uniform or a closed bidding process, which we believe will bring sunlight and efficiency to health care coverage across the state. So, in the interest of time, I will turn it over now, if you're okay with that, Mr. Chair, to Brandon Redke with Education Minnesota. And I should also say that maybe now I should would like to. I do have an author's amendment that I can explain too. But do you want to go over the? Have Mr. Redke give an overview of the bill first.
Does that amendment put it in the shape you'd like, I'm sure?
It would.
A1.
It's the A1 amendment. Do the members have the A1 amendment?
Yep. Not yet.
Correct.
I think we'll get it in the shape you'd like before we go further. If you want to, you can start explaining the amendment. Members are going to have it in a second here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good afternoon. And just to reintroduce myself, my name is Brandon Redke. I'm the Director of Public Affairs at Education Minnesota. And as Senator Sieben said, Education Minnesota is always looking for ways to make health care coverage for educators more affordable, fair, and predictable. We've worked on a variety of different proposals over the last decade or more. And today I just want to kind of talk about a new proposal we call the Health Insurance Transparency and Accountability Bill. As Senator Sieben said, it's really about changing some of the process for how we request bids and review bids at the school district level. The bill seeks to ensure competitive bidding process in two major ways. The first is it does so by requiring school districts to request at least three different bids for health insurance. And to ensure that we have at least one bid at the table for each district requires that PEEP submit a bid to every district. That's the way we ensure that there's at least one bid and hopefully more bids that every school district is going to get to examine. Secondly, the bill requires that all health insurance bids to go through a sealed bidding process based on actual claims data submitted by a specific date, in this case 90 days before their expiration. This will ensure that providers are putting their best foot forward at the beginning and allows everybody to kind of be on an equal playing field. Secondly, the bill enacts some what we believe are good government measures. One is to even prevent any appearance of a conflict of interest. The bill prohibits school board members and administrators from receiving gifts from people or organizations seeking to do business with that, with the district. And we expand the open meeting law in a narrow way to the service co-ops when on some of their committees and task force where they're discussing health insurance. And then finally, the bill protects educators' premium dollars by requiring that any premium rebates going back to the districts are either negotiated on to find a way to how to apply that rebate or that they go to basically pay for premium holidays on a proportional basis to the people that are have health insurance with the district. I want to be clear about a couple things that the bill does not do, which is different from approach we've had in before this committee. It does not create a single statewide pool of school employees. This is a completely different approach than we've had in years past. Secondly, it does not force a school district into choosing a specific plan or moving to a specific plan. Our goal of this bill is simple. We want districts to get multiple bids. We want a sealed bidding process to open up the process and bring the best bids forward. And we want to let districts make the best decisions for themselves. And I know you'll have some questions and maybe hear some concerns, and I hope to address those as well, about how this bill relates to leveling the playing field and not favoring one provider over another. And that is not the goal of our legislation. Education Minnesota has met with representatives of administrators, school boards, service co-ops, and health plans. Redrafts of the bill and the author's amendment, I think, reflect our willingness to work with others to get a bill that is hopefully workable for all parties involved. We have committed to continue our discussions with those other parties and the authors and try to seek accommodations in language that hopefully meets everybody's concern. Quite simply, we want as much money as we can to go to classrooms, and we believe this bill will create an open and fair bidding process so school districts and employees can get a health insurance at the best price. I urge you to pass the bill out of committee today, and I thank you for your time and stand for any questions.
Do you want to, Senator Carlson, to move the amendment to get the bill in the shape you'd like to begin with, and then we'll continue on?
And Mr. Chair, I can just briefly go through the A1 amendment to explain some of the changes. So on lines 1.2 to 1.3, this pertains to the open meeting law, and it's clarifying that for the service co-ops that the open meeting law is only it only pertains in this case to when issues related to health insurance are being discussed. 1.4 to 1.8 of the bill reflects concerns that we heard that some school districts have health insurance contracts that last longer than 2 years, or some have single-year contracts. And so this addresses those concerns to allow for longer contracts, or that the bids only have to be bid at the end of a contract time limit, but they can also and bids are not required if a district goes into a longer contract. Section 12 of the amendment is essentially saying that it's changing the appropriation. We believe that Pete may need some money at the onset to give, because they're the one entity that's required to give bids to every school district. The $1 million appropriation covers that for this set time period. And then the $50,000 cost for report is to try to ascertain how much if any additional money that people need in the future to give the required bids to every single school district. So that's why we're asking for a study there to see how much it will cost in the future.
Questions on the amendment? Senator Carlson moves the amendment. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion prevails. The next we have Peter Eckhoff from the Robbinsdale Federation of Teachers.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you today on this very important issue. My name is Peter Eckhoff. I am the local president of the Robbinsdale Federation of Teachers and the co-chair of our Insurance Labor Management Committee. I've served on that committee for the last 12 years, and over that time I have had the opportunity to see the benefits of most of the provisions called for within this bill. It is our practice in Robbinsdale to get multiple bids for our health insurance. Every time that we have received preliminary bids from the insurance carrier that we've had in place for their renewal, We have seen a decline in that bid when we go out for an RFP, or a request for proposal, for multiple bids on our business. In other words, when we seek multiple bids, we get very competitive bids back. The exception to this for us was 8 years ago when we went out for bids from other carriers and none chose to bid on our business. The only carrier willing to bid was the one we had at that time, and they asked for a 53% increase in our premiums in year one with no cap in the increase for year two. That means that we would have signed a contract that literally had no limit on how much the increases for year two could have been. This compelled us in Robbinsdale to move to self-insurance. We work with a third-party administrator and coordinate our healthcare network currently with Preferred One. Even as a self-insured district, we've utilized the bidding process to assure that we are using the most cost-efficient method of covering our members. We go out for competitive sealed bidding biannually to fully insured carriers to compare with our underwriting estimates to look for the best value for our employees. When we did this 4 years ago, our underwriters reduced their projections by 10% for the anticipated cost of our self-insurance. Secondarily, the inclusion of a bid from PEEP assures that we have a bid on options outside of self-insurance, adding additional competitive bidding into the mix. One of the major advantages that we have in our current environment is that we have all of our claims data and therefore can be assured that all bids are on an open, even playing field in the bidding based on the exact same information. A law to support this for all districts would assure us that everyone can benefit from this practice. I'm here to support this bill, as I believe it will reduce costs of insurance overall by consistently encouraging competitive bids on insurance and using a process that levels the playing field for all bidders.
Thank you very Thank much. You. Any questions of the testifier? Next up, Jason George, Medical Director of the Operating Engineers, Local 49. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about Senate File 1835. For the record, my name is Jason George. I'm the Legislative and Political Director for the Operating Engineers, Local 49. We represent 13,000 heavy equipment operators that work in industries such as energy, mining, transportation, and several other industries. We also, in conjunction with our contractor partners, manage our own self-funded plan, healthcare plan. There are five labor representatives and five management representatives, and together we are responsible for managing the healthcare of 33,000 members and their dependents. I am one of the labor trustees on our fund. We spend about $100 million a year on healthcare. It's one of the biggest things that we do. I'm going to limit my comments to two specific areas of this bill, the competitive bidding process and the good government issues. I believe the competitive bidding language in this bill can help ensure that school districts, the employees, and the taxpayers are all getting the best deal when it comes to selecting a health plan. Requiring multiple bids and requiring that those bids be sealed are two measures in particular that can be helpful. In the construction industry, contractors that bid on projects submit sealed bids and are given access to the same information about the project to ensure that everyone is on a level playing field. And that the contractor that can best perform the work responsibly at the lowest price wins the bid. At the end of the day, this helps the taxpayers get the best bang for their buck in construction projects. I can also tell you that with our health fund, when we submit services out for bid for vendors, we always require that the bids are sealed for the same reasons. We also, when putting out RFPs for services, work hard to ensure that we get multiple bids so that we can have some choice regarding the best products in the marketplace. I also believe the good government measures in this bill are helpful protections to the public. I as a trustee, are on our health fund, my interactions with vendors are highly regulated by the federal government. The Department of Labor keeps close watch on how we interact with the vendors that we choose. And I believe those protections are good for the membership and good for our industry. I think that these rules are good protections that can be in place for taxpayers as well in the public sector. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you again for the opportunity to share some thoughts on these two provisions of the bill. We support the direction that it's heading. We think these are good provisions, and I'll stand for any questions.
Any questions of Mr. George? Okay, moving.
Mr. Chair.
So, excuse me, Senator.
Just, Mr. Chair, Mr. George, your comments on the sealed bid process, what do you do when you open the bids and you don't like any of them?
Put it back out for RFP, Mr. Chairman.
So it doesn't preclude you from rebidding if
No.
it doesn't meet your specifications or there isn't one that's appealing to your organization?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Reiner, that's correct.
Senator Pratt.
excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So when you go out for sealed bids and let's say the structure of the bid is different, it makes it difficult to make a comparison. How do you resolve that issue? So, for example,
George.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, I'd love to hear an example. I'm not quite sure what you're getting at.
So, for let's say there are some features in one program that aren't in another, which may affect the cost of the program. How do you determine the comparable value?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pratt, I think what we try to do up front is give everybody the same information so that they're playing on the same field so that we don't have that issue, so that when they're bidding, everybody is bidding on the same work and with the same understanding so that we don't have that issue where one vendor might be thinking we want something else and one vendor might be thinking something different. I haven't run into that situation too much on our fund where we've had that problem. We work pretty hard to make sure that when we solicit the bids that everybody has the same information.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Senator Sieben.
Thank you. I just want to clarify, too, that there has been some discussion among interested parties that once the bids are open, there's nothing in this language that precludes an entity from going back to one of the bidders and saying that they would like their bid tweaked or adjusted some. So, for instance, if you go to a health insurance carrier and the school district perhaps wants a little bit higher premiums in exchange for a lower deductible, our interpretation of this is that there's nothing in the legislation that precludes that from happening. That helps answer some of your questions.
Mr. Chair, that's to Senator Pratt's point. That's how we operate, too. We go back to the Yeah, same way.
Senator Deems.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sieben, I just have a question here. Earlier in the presentation, we talked about making sure everybody's in the same playing field. But yet, if we look at Statute 43A.316, that gives different privileges to PEEP. And I don't see anything in the bill that puts them on a level playing field with all the other providers. So if the other providers have to provide you with a quote 90 days prior to the renewal, are you saying that PEEP has to do the same thing, that their bid will be there at the same time and it will be one of the bids that's going to be opened up? Are they going to be doing sealed bids like all the other providers?
Mr. Chair and Senator, I think the short answer is yes, that PEEP's bid will be sealed just like the other ones and they will be opened at the same time. There are some more discussions about that we can have. But to get to the other point I didn't want to miss is that a health insurance company is not required to make a bid when requested. I understand that there's some changes now under the Affordable Care Act, and if a school district has less than 50 employees, I believe that then insurance company is obligated to give a quote or a bid, but otherwise they're not.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up.
Go ahead.
Senator Sieben, would you be open to an amendment then that would make sure we've got it on a level playing field? It spells that out so there's no concerns. Because right now, like I say, that section does give different privileges to PEEP. So I'm assuming with the comments you just made that then you would be agreeable to an amendment that's going to make sure that's on a level playing field and also make sure that negotiations are available after they're opened up, like you stated, that could go on.
Senator Deems, I think that, yes, I am open to discussing that. There are some specific things with PEEP that has been brought to my attention why there is a need to have some of this language here, so I would not be open to deleting it. And Mr. Reckie,
let me suggest that you give that. You have an amendment, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you give that to the author and anybody else that's concerned, and we'll talk about it just a little bit later. Make sure that they know what it is. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like she's ready to accept it, but let's have it looked at. Senator Dahl, did you have a question? Senator Brown?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Sieben, in Mr. Rettke's testimony, he did mention that last year this bill would have created a statewide pool for schools, and we've shifted away from that. Can you explain why the shift?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sieben.
Senator Brown, that was not my bill. So this, I can't speak to that, but this is the bill that's before us now and that I was happy to be the chief author on.
Senator Brown.
And Mr. Chair, then Mr. Rettke, can you explain why we shifted a bill we had last year to the bill we have this year?
Mr. Chairman,
you can if you want it, but the bill before us is before us.
Yeah,
Senator Metzen, what good it does to go back to something else, but go ahead.
There's a lot of changes in the health care market. Our members need some immediate relief. We feel this is a proposal that can get wide support and move the ball forward. And so that's why we're putting it for us. We have a short session, and we want to try to get something done that's going to help get more competitive bids for our members. And that's why we brought this forward this session.
Okay. Any further questions? If I have the next witness, Catherine Commit, Director of Policy and Government Affairs, Minnesota Council of Health Plans. Okay. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Catherine Commit. I am the Director of Policy and Government Affairs at the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. The council is a trade association that represents Minnesota's 7 nonprofit health plans. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this legislation. Yesterday, my executive director and several of my colleagues and I met with Brandon Rettke and Denise Specht from Education Minnesota to discuss this bill. It was a very productive meeting, and we got a better understanding of what the intent of the bill is. At the meeting, they told us that one concern the bill was meant to address is to require carriers to bid on school districts. We shared with them some of the language that has occurred as a result of the Affordable Care Act. And I did bring a copy of the rules that specifically address that, and this is just one of many rules, federal rules, but it specifically addresses this issue. And in particular, the final rules state that, quote, a health insurance carrier that offers health insurance in the individual or group market in a state must offer to any individual or employer in the state all products that are approved for sale in the applicable market and must accept any individual or employer that applies for any of those products. That's called guaranteed. According to the feds, it's called guaranteed availability. We call that guaranteed issue here in Minnesota. So the issue that, as we understood it based on our discussion yesterday, was to ensure that when a school district goes out to bid, that they get a bid in response from any of the carriers that they solicit bids from. And, in fact, the law already states that, and it is the law of the land as of 1-1-2014. So the new requirement, we think this requirement alleviates one of the issues that this bill is attempting to address. And that's an issue. Under the ACA, health plans must respond to any request for a bid by an individual or an employer, period. I don't know that that's the same case with PEEP, however. And that would be one instance of there being a difference in how the rules are for somebody having an entity having to respond to a bid. I also want to speak about the language regarding the sealed bid process. We'd like to see the language there amended to ensure that it is a level playing field for any entity that provides a bid, including PEEP. In order to be a truly competitive market for the benefit of consumers, no entity should have a special advantage over one another. And we would also include as part of that difference in the bidding rules here the allowance of the idea of $1 million appropriated from the general fund to give PEEP essentially an advantage over all other insurance carriers that bid on this product. So as the Senate Commerce Committee, your jurisdiction includes health insurance issues, and we wanted to take this opportunity at the bill's first stop to make you aware of our concerns. Given the good meeting we had yesterday with Education Minnesota, we are hopeful that we can work together to address these issues in future committees. And we'll keep you informed of the ongoing discussions. I will say, though, that I think we did reach some understanding yesterday in our discussions about some of these issues, and it was rather an illuminating discussion for all of us. And so we are very hopeful that we can continue to work to get some comfort language in the bill to address some of those concerns. Our goal, just like Education Minnesota's goal, is to make sure that consumers are first and foremost getting the best deal that is available to them in Minnesota. Thanks for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Commit, you said something about PEEP wouldn't be on the same playing field, that they would have to give a bid, but it does say in the bill that one of the bids has to come from PEEP. So they would then be required to be one of the bidders in every case.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Goodwin, thanks for the question. I think that it could be interpreted that way. We would just like some comfort language that makes the same requirement of everyone. So just some comfort language that says if asked for a bid, if a bid is requested, then any entity would have to respond. And that would give us great comfort.
Okay. You going to respond to this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do want to just kind of reiterate what Catherine said, that when they brought up this point about that they're under ACA, they're required to submit bids, we committed to them saying that, you know, we'll do our due diligence to verify all the understanding that we're on the same page, and if that is true, that we are open to making changes to alleviate any of the concerns they have. So I think we feel like we're working together to try to find something that works for everybody.
Well, that's all that we like to operate around here, when you get a consensus and work it out. There's five more committees you have to go through, so I think we can move along. And then again, it's like you said, it's work in progress, and we'll keep working on it. Next witness is Grace Schwab Kelleher. Senator, how are you today?
I'm very well, Mr. Chairman. It is a pleasure to be in front of your committee today.
Boy, we'll see how it comes out, though. I don't know. Go ahead. No, well, good to see you. Yes, you may proceed.
Mr. Chairman, it is a great wonder to me that I am sitting in front of you today on a health insurance bill brought by the teachers that I'm actually excited to be part of. I had a tremendous meeting yesterday with Senator Sieben, who was very open to our concerns about this bill. And I'll just give you a sort of a feel for what we were concerned about. We wanted to make sure the rebate language was put into statute. We think instead of bargaining that, it should just be very clearly stated in the law. So we encourage you to take a peek at that. You need to look at the bid versus a proposal language. There's two different standards for that, and just be clear. If you want to negotiate after you get the bid, you need to have the right term in the law. Also, 471-61-61 needs to be aligned with whatever you put in here. So there's some cross-pollination of those statutes that need to occur so they're aligned. I shared with Senator Sieben the real need to not say you need three bills, because I know in my hometown, Mayo provides the only service, and the likelihood of getting anybody else in the area might be really difficult. And it sort of goes back to the idea that these bid documents we originally start out with need to be very concise on what we're looking for. We're looking for a local provider, someone who can give an X-ray right away, And I think that's going to be a different model for school districts to look at, but a fair one. And I think trying to get competitive bids in the marketplace is probably a good thing for schools to look at. Currently, the time limit is up to 5 years right now. 2 years seems maybe a little tight, but especially with the idea that if a contract isn't settled, what happens if your 2 years run out? And I just got that later yesterday afternoon. So could the board then be allowed to extend the insurance they presently have until negotiations are completed? Sort of just a little visioning down that road going forward. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I am so pleased to be working with a senator who's excited to work with this bill and take a lot of input. It is truly
And, boy, this is that's wonderful.
Nice way to start the session.
Mr. Chair. I was going to make a comment that we need more Republicans. But I won't say that. Senator Seaman, have you had a chance to look at the Dobbs Amendment?
I did, and I think that it's acceptable to me, and I'd accept it as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
But I also add, Mr. Chair, that I'm sorry, but there's somewhere else that I have to go. So Senator Jensen, who is a co-author of the bill, take over very ably for me now.
We're only going to guess where you're going. Okay, how about you want to move your amendment?
Yes, sir. Madam or Mr. Chair?
Oh, we don't have it yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, wait a second. Well, we kept it kind of a secret. We wanted the author to look at it first, I guess.
Mr. Chair, I can maybe discuss it just a little bit while it's being handed out. What the A4 amendment is going to do is basically clean up some of the language that we've already talked about as far as putting everything on a level playing field. And what this A4 amendment is going to do is make sure that it's in documented that it is on a level playing field and we're all in agreement. And the previous author agreed to that, so I think enough is said.
Okay, it sounds like we're all right with this one. On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Welcome, Senator Jensen. Next we have on the list is Samuel Walseth, representing school service cooperatives. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Sam Walseth, representing 8 service cooperatives, which provide health insurance to about 30% of the school employees in greater Minnesota, well, in the state of Minnesota, primarily in greater Minnesota. Again, I know we're getting to kind of a love fest here, but compared to last year's hearing in your committee, Mr. Chairman, but I want to really thank the authors of the bill for and the advocates for the bill for the collaborative work we've been able to do up to this point. And I think with the A4 that you just adopted, that goes a long way in addressing some of the concerns that we had with the bill. Mr. Chairman, I want to go back to a provision that we haven't really talked about. Ms. Kelleher just mentioned it, and that happens to be in first I just want to reference sections 2 and 3 pertaining to the open meeting law as it relates to service cooperative advisory committees and councils. The service cooperatives are statutorily created entities. They are public agencies, and they are subject to the open meeting law. This would extend that open meeting law requirement to their advisory councils that pertain with the author's amendment that pertain solely to insurance business, and we appreciate the narrowing of the scope of that amendment. Moving to Section 4, Mr. Chairman, this has to do with any premium refunds that may go back to a public entity. Ms. Kelleher did reference that they want this language in statute. My recommendation for the committee, and I think this is kind of a technical point, is that you put that language in a different set of statutes, not in the service cooperative statute. Council could advise, but if you leave it in the service cooperative statute, is that provision going to cover all of the educators in the state? As I mentioned, the folks I represent only currently cover about 30% of the employees in the state. And so would this benefit then only extend to those 30%? And I think that's a technical question we have. It's not about the language itself. It's just its proper placement in statute. We would recommend that it would go in a broader school district authority or collective bargaining statute. Mr. Chairman, in the wake of that, we would actually request a disclosure requirement on my client. And that may come as a surprise, but we do think it is good public policy. It is found in Senate File 977 that Senator Dames had introduced, and it would require my client to disclose any of these premium refunds going back to a school district that they would have to disclose the existence of, and that is coming back to the exclusive representative before that check can be issued back to, in this case, a school district. We think that's in the spirit of transparency here before you. We think that's good public policy. It would take my client kind of out of this mix, and then you'd have the statutory language about how those dollars are then divided. So we would recommend those changes as the bill goes forward as well. Mr. Chairman, members, moving through the rest of the bill, I think the crux of our comments were related to Section 10, which creates the new subdivision 8 in the group insurance bidding process. Between the author's amendment and the Senator Dames A4, you've largely addressed a lot of the concerns, and maybe that language isn't quite perfect yet, but I think we've got commitments from authors and advocates to continue working on that language. The one thing I would note is in the PEEP statute, Chapter 43A.316, Subdivision 10, the very last phrase, and I think this was an unnoticed loophole, if you will, that phrase actually – oh, I'm sorry, and actually that was addressed in the A4. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, that's already been addressed. That provision was going to make PEEP exempt from the new bid requirements here, but I apologize. I think the A4, I don't actually have it in front of me, but I think that addressed that. Okay. Apologize, Mr. Chairman. That issue has been addressed. Lastly, the last point we wanted to make was just having to do with the taxpayer subsidy to PEEP to handle bid process. I'm here today to ask that you equalize any taxpayer subsidy to any of the carriers who are going to be doing school employee health insurance business. We would recommend a level of equalization of zero. We don't think that taxpayer dollars should be spent in this effort, that doing the bid process is a price of doing business, and that the taxpayer shouldn't be asked to subsidize it. But we just ask for a fair is fair level of appropriation. My client does handle bids and aggregate claims data requirements for about 250 entities and school entities. So that is a burden that my client does experience as well. So just a concern about that appropriation. We'd ask that that subsidy be equalized, and for the record, we do think it should just be zero and we all go do business. So, Mr. Chairman, with those close my comments. Appreciate all the work people have been doing up to this point.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to his point, I would like to offer the A3 amendment.
Deletes the section for the study.
Yeah, I think you can start telling us what.
Okay, it's a fairly simple amendment, Mr. Chair. On page 8, section 12, it would delete section 12, which is the subsidy that would be appropriated.
Senator, wait till everybody gets the. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, Senator Goodman.
Thank you. I think one of the differences is that people will be having to do estimates at all the school districts, so 400 or 340 school districts or whatever it is, versus the other carriers who may only have a couple or a few schools that they're giving bids for. So I think that sets up a greater need for some kind of an appropriation to make sure that they have the staff to do the job.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would just like to respond to the amendment that Senator Brown has put on the table. Last year's, my recollection is that PEEP did about 250 quotes. The year before that, I think they did 135. We see approximately 10% of the quotes that are actually come to fruition. And when we talk about putting stuff on a level playing field, I think we need to follow the rhetoric. So we're saying we want to create a level playing field. We want to do this. We want to make sure we get the best bang for the buck for education. Now we're going to come along and we're going to put $1 million into the PEEP program so that they have an advantage. Every carrier is going to that provides a quote has those same costs. So if we're really going to be sincere and honest about trying to put a bill together that treats everybody equally and fairly, gets the best bang for the buck for the school districts and for all the carriers, then we either need to get rid of the $1 million subsidy or we need to change the language in that so that everybody gets paid an equal amount for the bids that they provide. And I guess I really question why we need to subsidize $1 million if PEEP is not competitive. They're not competitive. If they are, they are. What I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a marketplace that obviously is proven to be working, because if it wasn't working, we would have a lot more than 10% of the school folks that get bids, a lot more than probably 10% of them going to PEEP. So the outside market is working. So if the outside market is working, why are we trying to interfere with it and bringing in another $1 million to try to water the thing down? Or let's give it to everybody, play in all players equally. So I support the amendment and hope that we strike that out of there so that we truly have a level playing field and we start putting the money where it belongs, in teaching our children. That's where the money belongs. And so let's take that $1 million and let's not use it as a subsidy, because the market is working. Let's use that someplace else that's going to help our children.
Further discussion? Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment about the 10% going to PEEP. My experience with working for school districts who have been negotiating insurance rates and so forth, because we went out and got the PEEP bid, and then the other carriers came back and met it, and then there was really no incentive then to change to a new carrier. So I think, again, that emphasizes, again, the need for getting competitive bidding process, because just because they didn't take it didn't mean it wasn't benefit to the entire process. So,
Senator Dames, did you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to follow up to that comment. Is the direction we want to go today is just take away negotiations? If PEEP wants to come back and negotiate, they have that same option. They have the same option as a carrier comes back. And let's talk a little bit about why some carriers end up coming back and having the availability to renegotiate. Let's talk about some of the co-ops. They go out and get reinsurance or get insurance through different providers. Those providers give the co-op a quote. The co-op then passes that quote on to the school district. So now let's say you have a situation to where you have one co-op, one provider probably providing a few more bells and whistles than the other one does, or you have cost equalization where they're both about the same. The co-op is going to go back and see if they can get a better deal. It's called negotiations. They get a better deal, they go and they pass that on to the school. So really, what are we again trying to accomplish today? Are we trying to get the best bang for the buck for the school, or are we trying to get PEEP to be the preferred carrier? I think that's where the question is. And as far as using PEEP as leverage to the co-ops, the PEEP can use their, they can come back and, you know, at the present time, they can come back and change their bids.
Okay, any further discussion? Senator Letts.
Mr. Chairman, I think maybe there's a little bit of absence of information here that might be helpful somewhere down the road, if we could get some idea of how many proposals or bids PEEP presently puts out every year, and see how this mandatory requirement to provide bids for every requested RFP would increase their workload, we'd be in a better position to judge the necessity of Senator Dames' amendment. So I think maybe this would not be the right time or place to fully consider that amendment or adopt it, but I think it might be good to have some information down the road that would help us evaluate that question.
Okay. Further, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Chair, and Senator Letts. And that is why the $50,000 study was put in to the language, too, to make sure we get some of that information that we might not have right now. But once it gets started and we have to look at it, that we would get that information.
Okay. Senator Brown's motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Senator, then we've got Carol Nielsen, Director of Finance for the Moundsview School District.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to speak. As you mentioned, my name is Carol Nielsen, Director of Finance at Moundsview School. So I work closely with our Human Resources Department and our employee groups when we are going out to bid for health insurance.
Senator Reinhardt, did you have a...
Ma'am, if you could, with this door open, to try and keep this moderate temperature going, if you just email it.
Be glad Senator to. Reinhardt, thank you.
Let me just repeat what Senator Reinhardt... we've got a little challenge here because of the noise, but at the same token, it's about 92 and a half degrees in here, so so we've got to put up with a little bit of noise. So speak up, and thank you for your cooperation, everybody.
You're welcome. Moundsview, we currently are fully insured with a health care contract with Health Partners. We employ about 1,500 employees. We insure about 1,200 employees and 2,400 lives. And so health insurance is a very interesting and always a engaged conversation in our district. Specifically with the language that's before you, I was addressing my concerns as the bill was first introduced. And so specifically with regards to the two-year bidding process, at first it was conflicting with the existing language that says you have to have up to 5 years, you have contracts that can not exceed 5 years. But complicating the language of the contract length, I think, is very cost inefficient. Increasing the frequency of RFPs is very time-consuming. It increases the administrative cost, both for the school district and for any of the entities who respond to an RFP. And I think eventually these costs get passed on to the school district and the employees. And so by shortening that window, we are, in effect, I think, just adding to the cost of this process. I did agree the language about providing additional funding for PEEP did create, I think, an unfair disadvantage for those others that are responding to the RFP. And then shortening the contract time period also takes away a key negotiation strategy that school districts use. Moundsview has a current contract. We were able to negotiate a 6% rate cap down to a 0% in the fourth year because we were, under the current laws, being able to extend to a fifth year. And so we would lose some, I think, negotiating strategies by putting the parameters a little too tight. And then my other comment was several of the language pieces have to seem to have inconsistencies in their reference to days and language regarding whether you're submitting a renewal or you're submitting a proposal or you're submitting a sealed bid. So, again, the language was very confusing to me. Specifically, line 7.19 states that a entities must submit any plan design changes to the school district employees at least 90 days before the effective date. How can this be done if you're opening bids at 90 days? And then, again, the inconsistency as Chapter 43 entities get as soon as possible timeline, whereas other entities have a fixed timeline. And then line 7.26 states that all bids and renewals shall be sealed upon receipt and open 90 days prior to the plant's renewal date. Currently, Moundsview accepts our bids 120 days prior to renewal. That gives us the opportunity to negotiate with our entities and prepare written rationale. And so I think by specifically stating 90 days, it shortens or it kind of compromises our window of time frame. So I think any time it's referring to the number of days, it should say, you know, as no later than, so that you're not kind of constricting on the other end.
Senator Ryder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To a couple points, the author's amendment made some modifications on the two-year period, and I'd love to just have some more conversation about that, because I think there is good argument for being able to negotiate over a longer period, and you know, from the insurance provider standpoint, whether that's private or PEEP, knowing what your pool is and working with that pool, there are economies of scale to be returned. So love to have some comments from Education Minnesota, our proxy author, if she wants to chime in. And then also I don't see great harm in making a verbal amendment on 7.26 that says no later than 90, but I'm open to feedback on that as well. And Ms. Nielsen?
Yes.
I think Ms. Nielsen makes a good point there.
Let's hear a comment from the author.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Senator Reinhart. So I think the author's amendment does reflect that question that was put to us in a lot of the meetings we had with other stakeholders and group is, well, what if you could get a good deal beyond 2 years and you're making them do the RFP bid every 2 years? And so we did a survey of our locals and asked them, you know, what percentage have contracts that are 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? And we have 40 districts. We had about over 200 districts reply to us, and we have 40 districts that have contract lengths beyond 2 years. And so what the author's amendment reflects is our position that if there truly is a good deal that is 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years, then there shouldn't be a problem to say to the exclusive rep of the largest employment group, hey, we really got this good deal. Let's both agree to it, sign off, and go beyond the two-year window, and we can go up to 5 years. And I think we did that, and working with the Senator Sieben on the author's amendment to kind of recognize that point and say, if people truly are getting a good long-term deal, we don't want to step in front of that and take that away from them. So to the other testifier's point about the renegotiating of 1 year extension, that's the first kind of we heard about it in our conversation this morning. So, I mean, we were open to looking at any sort of language that might meet those concerns. Because, again, our goal is to try to make sure they get the best deal.
And Mr. Chair, on the suggestion of no later than 90 days,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Reinhart, we were kind of talking back and forth here.
We don't. Yeah, go ahead. But some of these things, like I hate to pass bills out of here that are totally fixed up. But we do have 5 more committees, so there's time to do some of these things too. Unless you like this, whatever.
I think if we keep it the same as the language earlier in the paragraph, at least 90 days, I'd be consider that friendly.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Reiner, I think the one piece we have to do is I'd just like to make sure we took time to look at making sure if we're having that if we're saying at least 90 days, that so somebody's putting in 120 days and they open those bids, and then somebody comes in at 90 days, and now they actually were able to undercut the bids that were opened when we're actually trying to get everybody to put the bids in at the same time. So I think that's kind of we have to make that window consistent so that we're not allowing actually people to open bids before everybody else has this opportunity to put in the bid.
Consul, did you have a opinion? Before it's Senator Reiner.
Yeah, I think Reiner, it creates other problems too because the they have to make the RFP 150 days out, and then Section 1 of the bill gives PEEP 60 days to respond. So that's where you come up with the 90.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue that would, I think, conflict with. And the other, I think, was mentioned by the testifier in that if you have a date certain, 90 days, all the bids know they have to be in by that time, and you open the bids on that day. Whereas if it's not later than that, they could quickly open them at 100 days or something before some bids came in. Or the PEEP bid came in. So I think that would need some substantial work to accomplish.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, and I'll wrap up. I know your preference is for us to do the commerce work in Commerce Committee, and I always respect that approach. There is a ton of intersection here with school districts and K-12, and that's not my area. If you want to talk higher ed, I'm a little more comfortable. But so I guess I will acquiesce on those two things and just say to advocates, and I'm supportive of this, that I think there are a couple good points that we should look at more. And everyone who's talked to me on this has said we're open. We're open to changes. We want to have something that's going to be successful. So I would ask you to
mark those two things. They're listening, and you want to be helpful, and Senator Reiner did put his oar in the water here, and I think you could work on his suggestion and get the language maybe later on.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Redke and Ms. Nielsen, it seems to me that we've got an issue of local control here. And what might work for one district at 90 days might not work for another district at 120 days. So maybe the revision for Senator Reinhart is to say the school district shall set a date certain, not to be more than 90 days or not less than 90 days past the point of expiration. And that way we allow our school districts to set that date certain that meets their timetable and provide them the flexibility in order to be able to manage their negotiations.
I like that idea.
I'm writing it down.
Thank you. It's
good sign.
Gary. I got a constituent.
Any further questions from members of the committee of this testifier? All right.
Great. Thank you
thank
for your
you
time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nielsen. Gary Amoroso. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm members of the committee. My name is Gary Amoroso. I serve as executive director of the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Our largest component group are the superintendents that serve in the state of Minnesota. Want to start off by saying that we all, I think, are after the same thing here, providing the best process for all school districts to secure the most fiscally responsible bids for health insurance. I do want to thank Education Minnesota for reaching out prior to this hearing and having discussions about the bill. I think that's a very fruitful process and look forward to continuing those conversations. A couple of things that we were going to mention have been addressed, but I do want to still share those. Leveling the playing field concept that is very important to us. I think it's the right thing to do, and I appreciate the fact that Senator Dames came in with his amendment, and I appreciate that the author and the committee has approved those. The one section that I still do think needs to be looked at, and you've just had a conversation on it, but I just want to throw our 2 cents worth in, is Section 12, where you would be providing dollars to one carrier versus the other carriers. I don't think that's appropriate. I think that does fly in the face of the concept of level playing field, and I appreciate the fact that you're going to receive additional information and that you're going to continue the conversation, so thank you for that. I appreciate the fact that Senator Seidman provides some clarifications on the bidding process. As a former superintendent of schools, one of the things that we used to do is when we received bids, and we had an insurance committee in the district that I served, and that insurance committee did put out RFPs. We received bids, and when we got those bids in, we were able to still continue the conversation about the premiums. And I can share that in all situations, we were able to even produce and have a lower premium after those conversations. So I appreciate the fact that Senator Seidman did clarify that. The question I would have is, does that need to be somehow incorporated into the bill so that there are no questions? You know, I've heard from some that if this were ever challenged, there could be an interpretation based on the bid process and other venues that would say that it's got to be the low bid and that's where you go. So I'm not an attorney, but that might be worth considering. And lastly, then, I appreciate the fact that we've had this opportunity, and thanks to Education Minnesota again and the author for allowing us to share our thoughts and look forward to continuing the conversations through the additional committees. And I would stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Amoroso. Any questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie Sink. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. I'm here as well as Matt Mons, HR Director for Prior Lake Savage Schools. I'm Julie Sink, the Director of Business Services for Prior Lake Savage Area Schools. We're a district of 7,500 students, and we have 1,000 employees. We are a self-insured school district, and we, for the past 4 years, have been self-insured, and we have an average increase of 1.625%. This is, and we also, during this time, have built a reserve dedicated to our employees' health insurance plan of almost 50% of our premium costs. We have done a really good job. The money that we've saved in our school district goes back to our classrooms, and that's an important part for us in this bill. We're very proud of that point. The concern we have for this bill is the bidding of every other year. It is an administrative burden for us, and extends to all districts of all sizes to change or possibly change every other year. It could be disruptive to our employees, what clinics they're able to go to, what doctors they're able to see. And also, we have some concerns about how being self-insured fits into this bill. Would we be required to get a quote from a fully insured carrier? Because we are self-insured, does this extend to us? That really isn't defined in this bill at any point.
Thank you. And, sir, could you restate and spell your name?
Yes.
So we have it down for the record.
Matt Mons, M-O-N-S,
and I'm the Director of Human Resources at the Prior Lake Savage Area School District. And I wanted to say thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today. I wanted to just touch on a couple of other points that affect self-insured districts specifically. And the first point is, when we go out for bid and when we're looking at different carriers for options, we're really not looking necessarily at what the rate increase is going to be for the district. That's something we are going to look at down the line, but what we're really looking at that point is, how do the network discounts compare to the network discounts that we currently experience with our current carrier? Because our claims are our claims. And so part of the reason for going self-insured is that you no longer have the bidding process whereby somebody can lowball and buy your business and then hike your rates later. We simply pay based on our claims every single year. And if we overestimate the value of those claims in a year, then that money comes back to the district. If we underestimate, we build the reserve that Julie had spoken to see that. So there is some concern that what we really look for to come back isn't just a rate. It is really doing a data dive and looking down at how do the discounts with another carrier compare to the discounts that we're currently experiencing. And that's information that I would hope that we would still be able to receive under this legislation. The second issue that I did want to speak to very briefly is just the timelines here. As a self-insured district, we not only bid annually or biannually on our carrier, we also bid annually on our stop-loss coverage, which is our reinsurance that really any functional self-insured school district needs to have. And the timelines to be able to successfully get bids through carriers for the reinsurance and still meet all of the deadlines in the statute could be worrying as well. So those were the two issues that I wanted to speak to from the self-insured perspective.
At both the districts, you have the stop-loss
coverage. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the money goes... if you save some money, you do it in two ways. You put it in reserves and you put it in classroom size, both.
It depends on what it is. So if we save money and we have a better plan year, if our claims come in better, that money goes to a designated fund that can only be used to fund our employees' health care. Now, where the money comes in, where you can put some of that back into the classroom, is that as we've made this change, we've experienced much better premium increases. And so it's that opportunity cost that had we remained fully insured, we would have had bids coming in much higher, and we did have bids come in much higher. And so we saved money at that time and continue just through having a healthy insurance plan to save those dollars.
Good, good, good. Any further questions of the witnesses? Anybody else wish to be heard on Senate File 1835? Senator, Senator Brown, I looked at you and I didn't see that hand up yet, but go
thank
ahead,
you,
Senator
Mr.
Brown.
Chair. I have a question for Senator Jensen. Just looking forward, I'm wondering why we don't include MNsure as a part of this process. Personally, I think PEEP has become obsolete with the creation of MNsure, and there are some who would disagree with that. But irregardless, why not include MNsure as a part of this process?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, there are limitations set on MNsure based on its individual and small groups, so not every school district would be able to utilize MNsure. So what this does is it opens up the bidding process for all school districts, and I think the last testifiers represented that very well, that there are school districts that have access to things that not all school districts do. What this does is it makes it an open bidding process that will lower, hopefully, the goal is to lower the rates for the individuals and for the districts and for the state so that we can provide the kind of health care that we should be providing for our teachers.
And Senator Brown, Mr. Chair, Senator Jensen, but looking forward, wouldn't it be true that MNsure at some point would be an option for larger employers?
Senator Mr. Gentry. Chair, Senator Brown, I'm not aware of that. Can't speak to that.
Would Mr. Chair, Senator Gentry, would it not be worth putting money in here to study for the commissioner to at least study that as an option?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, I don't think that putting that into this particular bill would be advantageous at this point.
But how do we know, Mr. Chair, how would we know that if we don't study it?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Yes, Brown, maybe we need to do another bill.
I'll consider
and take
that.
A look at that. Okay.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mons and Ms. Sink, I think, raised some confusion with me. I'd like to clarify. So we have a self-insured district that isn't really going out for coverage. They're going out for reinsurance. They're going out for servicing and network coverage. How would the would we be asking PEEP then to bid again, require PEEP to bid against their self-insurance every 2 to 5 years? Is that the intent of the bill?
Senator Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pratt, the way it's currently constructed is that if that PEEP would put in a bid every 2 years or at the expiration of the contract that the district has, and then the other application would just be, in most cases, those self-insured have a third-party administrator that they showed that they sought more than one bid or more than just a renewal rate, and then that would be considered.
Follow, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So would kind of back to the idea that we heard before, there were specific requirements in the plan. Are you saying that then PEEP would be bidding on only the administrative aspect of it to be consistent with what we've heard from the 49ers and the other school district that really they spell out their requirements very, very tightly so that they don't have variance in the bids? But again, either we're asking PEEP to bid against the district and its self-insurance, or we're asking that they be the provider, as you just said, or the servicer, administrator, I think is the right term, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which seems a little bit different.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pratt, in those cases, I think it would be different. You would have that the PEEP bid would be based on the products they have, and then they would have that bid on the table, as a previous testifier spoke to about looking at every 2 years, does it make sense to continue self-insured or enroll into a different product?
Okay.
Let me just suggest that Senator Sieben and Jensen have been, in my opinion, very extremely good listeners here today. You might not agree with everything, but their doors are open.
Is that correct, that Senator Reinhart, we're going to look at some of the language you talked about, and any other member of the committee that we're going to assure you that you're going to be listened to? I usually don't like to move things this fast out of here, but we are under the gun, and it's 5 more committees. So if you have something on your mind that we don't fix up today, the doors are still open. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Jensen. I think, without objection, it's probably time for a motion. And you want to send it, they tell me, to Ed Policy, huh? The next stop?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, why don't you make that motion, Senator Jensen, as the co-author of the bill?
I move that we approve Senate File 1835 and move it on to Education Policy as amended.
Okay, further discussion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you for your attendance and input. And when do we meet again?
Monday.
We meet again next Monday.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, that's okay.
I appreciate it. We don't know what we're doing, but...